Look, that it is 8 o'clock, and this is going to be our first meeting of Community and Regional Affairs. And let the record show that we have here with us, we have Representative Harriet Drummond, we have Representative Nora Reinbold, we have my co-chair, Ben Nagiak, and I'm Gabrielle Ledoux. And excused is Kurt Olson, and also excused is Bob Heron. And I'd like to recognize the staff today of this committee. It's Chris Jones, who's our House Recording Secretary. And it's Laura Berg, who is our LIO moderator. And our committee aides are Dirk Moffitt, who's my chief of staff, and also Kimberly Clark from Representative Nagiak's office. And before we start today, please, everybody, turn off your cell phones. And today we're going to be having an overview from Susan Bell, Commissioner of the Department of Commerce. We were supposed to have Scott Ruby, who's the Division Director for Division of Community and Regional Affairs, but he overflew last night and ended up in Seattle last night, and we think that he may be in the air this morning, but Ms. Bell will let us know, and if he's not in the air, he will probably be online with us. So, Ms. Bell, would you like to come forward and introduce yourself to the committee?
Good morning, and thank you. For the record, I'm Susan Bell, Commissioner for the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. It is true, Mr. Ruby did land in Seattle last night, and I know he's en route. We do have on the line Melissa Taylor. Melissa is our operations manager. Scott Ruby, as weather permits, will be coming into Juneau for the rest of the week, and I will encourage him to drop by each of your offices so that those of you who may not have a working relationship with him have a point of contact. Scott's approaching 25 years within the division, and he and many members of his staff really are committed to their mission and our overall mission. Also with me today is Crystal Kahneman. She's our legislative liaison, and I know I was getting some technical assistance with the PowerPoint presentation. I know for the audience members and members of the committee, you've got printed copies, but as the screen comes down, while I'm making some introductory comments, I'll ask Crystal if she can come up and help get the presentation up. The Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development has 13 agencies in it, and I just wanted to make a few comments about the integral role that we have with community and regional affairs. First of all, our overall department mission is to promote a healthy economy and strong communities. Thank you, Crystal. Okay. Appreciate the audiovisual aids that are all working together this morning. So again, our overall mission is to promote a healthy economy, strong communities, and to protect consumers in Alaska. As you can see embedded right in our mission, the Division of Community and Regional Affairs has a very important role with strengthening communities. And I'll pause for a moment.
It's supposed to be on the screen.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get it on. Sorry,
excuse
okay.
us.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to be sure that if you needed to speak to staff. Okay, I'll continue, and then if you'd like me to pause, please advise. We take the mission of the department very seriously, and again, that interplay between strong communities and a healthy economy, I think when we work, it's important to work towards both concurrently. When we think about, I think a prime example is something that the Red Dog Mine, as it was developed outside of Kotzebue, that was an area where many aspects of our department were involved in the formation of the borough. So that is a role that Community and Regional Affairs would play if, as another development like Red Dog Mine happened. But the formation of the borough, making sure that the formation and the continuation of the borough adhered to the statute set forth by the legislature in Title 29, is the kind of work that the Division of Community and Regional Affairs does. Also, in that particular instance, the DeLong Mountain Transportation System, the road and port, were financed by ADA, another element of our department. So again, you see these different aspects of our department working together to help stimulate private sector development, and you also see the formation of the borough in ensuring that those benefits, revenues to the borough, employment opportunities flow. So again, it's a small example that we point to a lot because I think that it helps illustrate that point of strengthening communities and economic development. Some other examples of how community and regional affairs and some of other agencies in the department really work together. Alaska Energy, of course, lead agency on energy development. DCRA coordinates with community planning. Alaska Energy Authority has a lead role in energy planning, especially now we're working aggressively with many regions throughout the state. And it's important that there are tools that are developed, such as maps. Morning, Mr. Foster. Maps and other planning tools are available to both agencies. So again, there's a very strong relationship between the Energy Authority and DCRA. Regulatory Commission of Alaska, AEA, and DCRA are involved in different aspects of power cost equalization.
Excuse me, I just want to let the record reflect that Representative Foster has joined us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, just illustrating some of those examples of how DCRA is working with other agencies in our department. Power cost equalization, RCA sets the rate, and one of the things that DCRA does is work with a community when, if they are not in compliance, if they need to be sure that their lack of filings or proper filings or billing, we help make sure that the communities do what they need to do to become eligible again to participate in power cost equalization. Another example, a new agency in our department is the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. It was moved by the legislature last year. But even prior to that, we had a long relationship between DCRA and ABC Board as communities work through the local options of being dry community or not, or the variations in how those elections are conducted. And I'll finish with another example, but there are many. The Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, DCRA administers the legislative grants and other grants to communities, nonprofits, and other entities. And Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing helps ensure that people are in good standing before we distribute the funds. So again, many, many ways that DCRA is working with other agencies, as well as a lot of hands-on work with the communities themselves. So this initial slide highlights DCRA's mission of promoting strong communities and healthy economy and promoting efficient, accountable, and effective local administration. You can see our core services listed there, and I'm going to go into those in detail. And Representative Ledoux, as I go, again, I sometimes speak more quickly than I should, so please stop me if you or others have questions. And again, I have Melissa Taylor online to assist with any specific questions.
Oops. Thank you.
Okay. I'll arrow differently. This map illustrates the seven locations that we have DCRA staff. We have a total of 66 staff in the three large hub communities of Anchorage, Juneau, and Fairbanks. But we also have staff in Kotzebue, Nome, Bethel, and Dillingham. And I want to point out that every community in the state, there is a local government specialist that's assigned to the community. And we work with folks on a one-on-one relationship. We provide a lot of technical assistance and training. We have a lot of resources that are printed through our website and publications that are available, and we do a lot of training. But when you look at our geographic coverage, I'll use Bethel as an example. There's more than 50 very small communities in the Bethel area. And again, they're looking to Nome, Kotzebue. We're poised to be able to provide a lot of regional and in-community training by having our staff dispersed throughout the state. So again, an overview of the programs, which I'll get into. Beginning with what I really think is our foundation in DCRA, which is our local government assistance. This and our RUBA program, which I'll talk about in a moment, are very interrelated. But we're providing technical assistance to public administrators and sanitation utilities, again, making sure that people understand the statutes that are applicable to them as communities. We help with elections, Title 29, that's the statutes that outline the specific powers and responsibilities of communities. Bulk fuel management, I mentioned previously the Title 4 local option requirements related to the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. And then a lot of training and technical assistance on personnel, administrative, government, and financial management. So we might be in a community doing, or in a region doing QuickBooks training. We have some specific, what we call a 32-hour training course. And there's just a wide array of services that we provide. One of the things I want to highlight was a change made by the legislature this last year is previously we had a bulk fuel revolving loan program in the Alaska Energy Authority and a bulk fuel bridge program in DCRA. Those two were merged. The program administration is conducted out of the Community and Regional Affairs so that there is a simplified process, one place for communities to go to or nonprofit entities to go to for the fuel loan. And again, as an example of working together within the department, the financing staff and the Division of Economic Development administer those. But again, I just wanted to note that change because we've worked to make sure that communities are aware of it. Your constituents it may ask about that.
On the local government assistance, can I ask questions?
Yeah, absolutely, but go through the chair if you would.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Chair, can I ask a question, please?
Absolutely.
On the local government assistance, I saw the previous map of the regional offices, 7 regional offices, 66 staff, and I see a greater omission of the North Slope region. We have in our community in Bear is 5,000 people, and the whole region includes Poudre Bay. We count that as one of our communities, and of course, 7 other outlying communities all the way from Point Hope to Kaktovik. And so I know there's, as you were talking about some of the actions that or programs that the division does in throughout the state, and there has been a lot of problems related to fuel. That you were talking about the fuel and the local option and all those things, and we hear this all the time whenever we have meetings with the North Slope. There's nobody to turn to in our region because we don't have the staff related to what DCRA does. So I would like, thank you, Madam Chair.
Through the chair, Representative, I fully understand what you're saying, and there is a difference when we have people right in the region versus people that are traveling to the communities to assist. And to the great degree, we have people in Fairbanks that are working with communities up in the northern part of the state. We try to have that geographic proximity so that there's efficiency in travel costs, and we try to provide in-region training where we can, even if we don't have an office located there. But I also appreciate the comment that you make that that the closer we can get to the services that we're providing, it helps build the relationships and that kind of ongoing assistance that's needed.
Commissioner Bell, how did you decide that the regional offices would be in the 7 communities where they exist, rather than, for example, Barrow or other communities around the state? What went into those decisions about where they'd be located?
Chairman Ledoux, what I'd like to do is follow up in consultation with DCRI staff, because it probably has evolved over time, and I'd be happy to give a more thorough response.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. In regards to the bulk fuel loan management program that you're talking about, from what I understand, I believe the population limit is 2,000 and the dollar limit is 750,000. Considering where fuel has gone, I'm not sure how long ago that 750 was put into place, and considering where fuel prices are now, Has DCRA looked at raising those limits as well as even the population limits to take into account some of the, you know, hubs around the state? You've got, whether it's Bethel or Dillingham, Kotzebue, Nome, Barrow, you know, down southeast and some of the rural areas there that are not on the rail belt.
Through the chair, Representative Foster, if I can ask if confirmation if Melissa Taylor's on the line. But with recent merging of with the recent merging of the two programs, the bulk fuel revolving loan and the bridge loan, I'd like Melissa, if she's able to speak to this, confirm if there were what the upper threshold is in population and dollar amounts for the loans with the merging. I think that would be good information.
It appears that she's on the line, correct?
I am on the line. I'm sorry, I don't have that information readily available. I can get it and get back to you in just a second, if that's okay.
Sure.
Look, and Representative Ledoux, if Melissa is able to do that, we can answer a question. But I also fully recognize Representative Foster's point is that as prices have risen, we may need to revisit that. So we'll confirm the upper level and then also point well taken. I know that some of the fuel assistance programs that we have in the state certainly came from peak prices in 2008-2009. But we'll note that as a follow-up.
Thank you.
Thank you. You want to go ahead and then?
Sure. As I move to the next slide, slide six, which discusses the Rural Business Advisor Program, or what we often call RUBA, this is a program that is specifically targeted at communities that are receiving new or upgraded sanitation systems. And before I go further, I just want to say that our delivery of our local government assistance and our RUBA assistance is integrated. So often, rather than having one person that comes to a community to talk about one thing and the other, the knowledge is in many of our staff. We're able to deliver concurrent training, answer questions. And what I certainly know is that a key foundation of the RUBA program is a sound and functioning local community. So part of what we do with the RUBA program is look at indicators such as, are people doing billings? Do people have local elections? If you're functioning soundly on one hand, you're often functioning well on the other hand. So again, our RUBA program and our local government assistance, technical assistance is often delivered concurrently or in the same staff. So again, the point of this program, which is federally funded, is targeting sanitation systems, so water, wastewater. We provide ongoing training to utility managers, training to municipal administrators, and you can see on the right-hand side some of the accomplishments from FY12. We provided assistance in 208 communities. We had 247 on-site visits. We had 14 of these 32-hour courses on utility management in 7 different regional hubs. So again, trying to make sure that it's cost-effective for people in the communities to participate by taking the training closer to them. And then also the last bullet noted there is that 161 rural utility managers attended our courses. So again, I had a chance to speak with our DCRA staff this last fall at Alaska Municipal League. We also spoke to the municipal clerks, and one of the things that I really heard loud and clear there was how critical this kind of training and ongoing assistance is. When you think about small communities and local capacity, it's very critical that we offer these kinds of services.
Commissioner Bell, Representative Heron wasn't able to be here this morning, but he pointed out to me that it appears that there's been a 30% reduction to the RUBA budget. And if that, first of all, is that correct? Because he said it appeared that way. And if correct, how are you going to continue doing all of those things with a 30% budget reduction?
Chairman Ledoux, I appreciate you passing on this question from Representative Heron, and I know in our budget subcommittee we'll be discussing this in depth, but let me first confirm that we are seeing a reduction in federal funds for the RUBA program, and That is in the amount of nearly $600,000. Working with the governor and the Office of Management and Budget, we've requested a fund change to make up part of that, but not all of the difference. And so at this time, we're looking at deletion of two positions, one in Bethel and one in Kotzebue. So again, it is a we are looking at cuts in DCRA, and it would have a direct effect on staffing levels in our regional hubs.
Thank you. Representative Nagia.
You're talking about the services you provide, and then do you work closely with incorporated boroughs and other communities that, you know, with their own regional governments?
Through the chair, Representative Nagia, yes, the working relationship that we have with communities sizes, different sizes all throughout the state, there's a very strong relationship with boroughs, with first-class, second-class cities. Again, through our grant administration powers, we also work with a number of nonprofits and other entities in the state. But I think a real foundation of what we do is with municipalities and insurance and in helping them adhere to Title IX statute, Title 29 statutes.
Madam Chair, follow up?
Definitely.
And also on co-ops. Do you work with co-ops? I think we have a couple in the North Loop. And I don't know whether you have a working relationship with co-ops in the state.
Through the chair, I will follow, since we're going to be following up on a couple of other questions, I'll follow up on that one specifically, because again, the it may vary with what kind of services they're providing. If it's more, when we look at some communities, we see that there may be a nonprofit or a co-op that's providing the fuel services. In other instances, there's a municipal entity that is doing the election. So I'll provide a more detailed response on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Turning to the next slide, another core area, another program in community and regional affairs is our planning and land management. And as commissioner, I am the municipal lands trustee in this, and we hold title to more than 13,000 acres in 47 communities. This has a connection to ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, in that land needed to be set aside for municipal functions. So again, there's a lot of technical assistance and planning work that comes from the division as we work through the process. There's also a number of other programs, including the National Flood Insurance Program, Alaska Coastal Community Impact Assistance, Community Coastal Impact, similar names, and aerial photo mapping programs. This slide continues on the next, so I'm going to continue with the programs and then scroll back. There's a National Flood Insurance Program that I referenced, also FEMA, Division of Community and Regional Affairs, as that representative and assistance to local communities, works very closely with the division, DMVA, the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and their responsibility for their responsibility for safety and emergency response. We also are the contact in DCRA for FEMA, so federal funding and coordination. Again, the mapping that I've been mentioning, both from a planning assistance and an emergency response, becomes important. And the next couple of bullets here speak specifically to some FEMA-funded maps, community profile maps, and land management. So as I scroll back up to highlight a few of the accomplishments, there's land disposal transactions related to trust land in 9 different communities in FY12. We conveyed a little over 600 acres and municipal trust land to Bristol Bay Borough in the Naknek and King Salmon area, conducted regional and statewide ANCSA 14C and site control training sessions, so helping people understand what the responsibilities and the processes are. Again, a few more comments about maps. Turning to slide 8, continuing with the accomplishments, community assistance was provided to Valdez, Haines, and Delta Junction. Also grant applications for 59 applications for the SEAP program through U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and oversaw the execution of 15 new SEAP grant agreements. And so you can see here we're working with local governments, nonprofits, and post-secondary educational organizations. So in this instance, as we talk about our planning and land management, it's really integral, it's really important that we've got that local, the local knowledge and the local relationships as we work with federal agencies and other state agencies in the state.
Since you're pausing right now, I would like to have your assistant come on the line and introduce herself for the record.
So, Melissa, do you want to describe your role and the years you've had with the division so that people, if they want to, it can help? There may be questions that when they realize that, maybe more specifically directed to you. So I'll defer to Melissa.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Melissa Taylor. I am the operations manager for the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. I started with this division as a local government specialist out in Nome. So I've had the opportunity to work with many of the communities. And right now, in my role, I'm primarily, I run the office, basically, and make sure that things don't slip through the cracks, but and provide whatever assistance to the director as needed.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Representative.
In your previous section, you were talking about, and there's a slide there, I'm showing that you manage ANCSA lands in some communities. How is that possible? And are they community lands or are they state lands? ANCSA is supposed to be community lands, but I don't know how you manage that, some of those lands.
Through the chair, Representative Nagyak, there's a specific provision of ANCSA that was important to set aside lands when we think about the settlement and the land conveyances where land needed to be set aside for future municipal needs. And as we go through that process, there's the land itself becomes held in trust for the municipality. So again, I know technically, and also being a shareholder myself of Bering Strait and Sitnasauk, I understand that, you know, the land and its importance and the legal responsibilities to the shareholders. Melissa, I'm going to ask if you want to augment my comments about the transactions that we do through this program.
Sure, through the Municipal Land Trust?
Correct.
And I'm sorry, I didn't catch the beginning of that question.
Oh, if you just wanted to add to the comments on the process that we follow or the training or how we hold the land in trust.
Okay.
And through the chair, it may be that we outline that in our follow-up. And again, with I'd be happy to do that because I know legal responsibility for the land is something that's technical, and I want to be sure we're accurate this morning. So
right.
I know I can tell with the that we'll follow up on that one as well.
Thank you.
Okay. So now I've moved to slide 9. The title is Grants Management. And this is an area where, again, reinforces our working relationship with communities and nonprofit entities throughout the state. We provide the grant administration and oversight for 13 different programs, one of them especially in the last couple of years with a very large capital grants. We've had significant responsibility of making sure that the grants are administered as intended. We also have statutory and federal grants. So we have on-site monitoring. We typically begin with a grant agreement, making sure that everybody's clear about what's intended. And then many of the grants are reimbursable. And so we're looking for the documentation that things have proceeded as intended by the state or federal agency that administered the grants. There's also a training and technical assistance component to this as well, because grant administration, you want your records to be sound. And looking over to the right-hand side of the slide, the grant section administered in fiscal year 12, 1,900 grants, totaling $1.4 billion. One of the things I want to compliment DCRA staff, our admin services staff, as well as the legislature, is that working with the legislature, we came up with a process for a streamlined process for grants under $50,000. And there still is that paperwork and accountability that I described, but it is streamlined. It allows people to get the funding faster. And just noting in fiscal year 12, out of 630 new legislative grants, we had a significant portion, well over 200 of them, use this process. And as I'm out talking with communities and nonprofits around the state, they really appreciate that this was an area where we were able to help give them some relief on the paperwork end. And again, there still is that accountability on the spending. Moving to slide 10, community aid and accountability. The community revenue sharing program, payment in lieu of taxes, national forest receipts, and the fisheries taxes are the distribution of these funds are through Division of Community and Regional Affairs. And so we help make sure that community entities are eligible. And also, just looking to the accomplishment side, $29 million was distributed under PILT, National Forest Receipts, and the fisheries taxes. In the last couple of years, in recognition of the particularly increased energy costs, we've had supplemental funding come through the legislature for community revenue sharing. So we had the governor had proposed full funding of $60 million, and again, supplemental funds were passed by the legislature in the budget process. So making sure that those payments get out to communities in a timely manner, I really commend our DCRA staff for their work there. Moving to slide 11, research and analysis. There's a wide array of publications that the division provides. Many of them are available on our website. Many of them are reports that we provide to the legislature. We collect and analyze data on communities such as the fuel price reports and the Lean Watch. The Lean Watch is something that, again, as we identify a community that has a lien, we can help them with getting their financial house in order so that they become eligible again for things like grants for community revenue sharing, for PCE, for future grants. So again, one of the comments I made early on was that often if you have a well-functioning community, you see that reflected in different aspects. And if you start to see an entity begin to falter in terms of their elections or their accounting or their invoicing, you'll see other systemic things happening. So again, we try to have a holistic view. But the research and analysis section maintains a lot of databases and websites, including the community status report database, a lot of special projects. But looking on the right, you can see some of the other things that are frequently used by communities and legislators as well, the community photo library, municipal contact directory, financial document delivery system. And we're always working closely with communities to make sure the information is reflected accurately. Moving to slide 12, the State Assessor's Office. We provide technical expertise through our State Assessor Office to municipal assessors and agencies. We do monitor municipalities for making sure that they have compliance. We're also responsible for full value assessments of property values for municipalities, borough, and unincorporated areas. A lot of the information that we compile is produced in a report called Alaska Taxable. I know, again, working with Alaska Municipal League and a lot of communities throughout the state, that's a very well-known publication. In doing this, we make trips to communities to provide on-site technical assistance and training. You see that theme throughout a lot of our programs. We're in a position of helping and training. We completed audits in 4 municipalities and then full value determinations in 36 municipal governments. So I'll pause there to see if there's questions on this front.
I think you can proceed.
Okay. The Local Boundary Commission, we support the Local Boundary Commission. It's a governor-appointed body. We provide information on the procedures for incorporation, annexation, consolidation, detachment, dissolution, and changes in municipalities. Again, many of these things are outlined specifically in statute set forth by the legislature in Title 29. We review petitions, making sure this is an area where the process and the management of the process is so important. Public notice, public comments, final decisions of the commission, preliminary recommendations. So again, the commission itself is a body of Alaskans that are appointed, but there's a lot of the technical work that is done by the staff in support of the commission. Some examples of where that work was accomplished this last year: on the right hand side of the slide, a petition to annex 32 acres in Fairbanks was upheld by the Supreme Court. And here in Southeast, there's been a lot of focus on the development of Petersburg Borough and its boundaries. And then here in Juneau, there was a response to Petersburg to look at expanding of Juneau's boundaries. So again, these kinds of things need to be handled with great care to ensure that public comment and attention to detail is there, and it becomes very important to the local communities. But when you look at the Local Boundary Commission and what they're trying to do, they're trying to make sure that boroughs are cohesive units that reflect the socioeconomic and economic drivers within the community. They're also looking to make sure that if a borough is formed or other community entities are formed, that there is that financial and technical ability to operate. So it comes back to that holistic approach that I've been describing. This is the last slide that I have for a description of our core programs, and this is something that's new. It was the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council. It was established by the legislature last year, signed into law on May 28th. And on the right-hand side of the slide, you can see the individuals that were appointed. The announcement of the appointments was made during the Alaska Federation of Natives Conference. And so this council is staffed and supported by the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. You can look to the individuals and see not only the language skills, but the geographic representation throughout the state. I had the pleasure of sitting in part of their first organizational meeting. They met in December. I know that Lieutenant Governor, who chairs the Historical Commission, also took part in congratulating them and thanking them for their work. The Governor's Rural Affairs Advisor, our Assistant Commissioner, Melissa, who's on the phone this morning, the Division Director. We want to be sure that this body has the support that they need from our staff to do their work and make appropriate recommendations, because we recognize how essential this is. So again, it's something new, just getting underway, and as they do their work in the next year and a half, I think you'll be hearing and seeing more about that.
Madam Commissioner, do the language professionals, do they include all of the languages that are spoken in our state?
Chairman Ledoux, no, actually there are more languages than are reflected here, but this is a not only is this a very good geographic representation, but the skill level and the commitment of the individuals that were appointed to the council is very, very impressive. So I know they're each in their own way very, very committed to the broader mission.
It doesn't say, I don't think, I'm not seeing it in the PowerPoint presentation, but where are these folks from? What's the geographical?
Chairman Ledoux, I know that work from the bottom up. Annette Evans-Smith is a LUTIC. She lives in Anchorage now. She works at the Alaska Native Heritage Center, but her roots are a combination of a LUTIC, Athabascan, and Yupik. So again, as each person may have more than one language skill, but again, Annette is based in Anchorage now. Bernadette Alvana Stimple is a Nome resident. She's Yupik. And again, there, what I'll do as a follow-up is help provide some of the academic credentials that each one of these bring, because I know I'm not doing them full justice now. But just to briefly answer your question, Dolores Churchill is Haida, a renowned artist and a much beloved elder that lives in Ketchikan, and she's been very, very active in the community and region. April Counselor, Alutik, and again, off the top of my head, I don't know where April's residence is.
I'm pretty sure it's Kodiak, actually. I know her. So.
Thank you, Trevor. I knew she had Kodiak roots. I just didn't know where she, once I started in this path of where people live, I realized I might run out of my knowledge. Thank you. And then Mr. Charles is a Fairbanks resident. He works at the university, but his roots are in Northwest Alaska, and he is Yupik. So again, there, as we provide a little bit of follow-up, I think you'll be impressed with their academic credentials as well.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Proceed.
Thank you. I was looking at the same thing. I don't see the Inupiaq and Siberian Yupik represented in this. We have an island in, around the Bering Straits, Camel and Savunga, and they speak Siberian Yupik. Is different from the Yupiks down in the Waikiki Delta. And also Inupiaq, it includes all the way from the Canadian border to Iqaluit. And so, and that, those are two very big areas. And to help with my preservation of my language, I am going to be working with some people in Barrow to give me Inupiaq words of the day. And those, they will be posted by my door in the next several days, maybe. And that is to let everyone know that we are doing our best to keep our language moving for countless other generations. And I am lucky that I'm bilingual, English and Inupiaq. And I'm proud of that. My first language was Inupiaq until I was 6 years old when I went to school, and so that's my generation. And I'm glad that the Division of Community Regional Affairs is doing something with Alaska Native Language Preservation. Thank you very much.
Chairman Ledoux, as was just illustrated, I think this. Recognizing where we are as a state and the importance of language and culture, I think it takes a full complement of things from, I know some regions have Rosetta Stone, so that there's a training program, there's immersion programs, family commitments. So the purpose of this council is to really think about what recommendations back to the legislature, the governor, and the state residents as a whole can help make sure that at this point in time we can do as much as possible to preserve that. So again, I look forward to seeing the examples that the representative mentioned and learning along with them.
Well, I'd ask the question because I see a number of Yupik speakers, but there were, I thought, many other languages that didn't seem to be represented at all. So.
So in terms of formal comments, that's the overview of the division that we prepared for today, and certainly there's a few things that we'll be following up on in response to the questions that were raised today. And again, as Mr. Ruby and Melissa, if she's traveling to Juneau, as they're in town, I'll be sure that committee members have a chance to be introduced to them personally. And I look forward to working with you through the rest of the session.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Are there any questions from any other folks on the committee? Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From the big city of Anchorage, and before that I grew up in New York City, and this has been quite the experience, getting immersed in local government at the very smallest level. It appears that the DCRA serves as the clerk, the planning department, the finance department, and a number of other major roles to many, 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 many small communities that, for example, the city of Anchorage provides for itself. And I'm very impressed with the amount of services that you provide to all of these very small communities. And I look forward to learning more about it. I somehow question how Alaska Native Language Preservation is found under the local government section. And I sort of feel that that ought to be in university, under the university's purview. I'm not sure about that, how language found itself under government. But as a Greek American and a speaker of Greek, I appreciate the preservation of language and culture at every level.
And may I make one, through the chairman, but one first on behalf of the division employees, I thank you for your compliment and your observation of the scope of duties. And one thing, I often begin my comments by saying that the Division of Community and Regional Affairs is charged with a constitutional mandate. It's in Article 10 that an agency shall be established in law in the executive branch of state government to advise and assist local governments. It shall review their activities, collect and publish local government information, and perform other duties prescribed by law. And what we really try to do is help make sure that that local capacity capacity for management is, you know, through our training and our technical assistance, is held at the local community. But just recognizing that there's turnover at the staff level, that there are new changes that are implemented in statute as legislatures deliberate, you know, we try to be a resource for them. And again, thank you for the compliment on behalf of the division.
Representative Reinbaum.
Through the chair, I just have a quick question in regards to the Native Charter School. Do you have any interaction with the Native Charter School in Anchorage?
Through the chair, it's possible that we might have grants that are administered through the division, and I'll follow up on that, but I don't know that other than that we'd have a direct relationship with them at this stage.
Any further questions? Well, Commissioner Bell, when can we expect the follow-up information?
Chairman Ledoux, I'll work with the staff to try to have that follow-up within the next 24 hours.
Fantastic. Well, if there are no further questions, I'd like to say also that I've enjoyed the presentation, got a lot out of it, and my experience previously representing a number of the rural areas, my experience with the division was almost always good. So at any rate, we will adjourn this meeting. It looks like it is about 10 minutes to 9:00.